the spirit of reconciliation, Mylomer Australia acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to the elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today. Welcome to My Conversations, Mylomer Australia's podcast series. These podcasts are written and produced by our Mylomer support nurses for people living with myeloma, their family and friends. We aim to deliver interesting and up-to-date information on myeloma in a portable and convenient way through our podcast shows.
Welcome everyone to this episode of My Conversations, a Myeloma Australia podcast. My name is Nella Coombe and I'm the Manager of Nursing and Patient Services at Myeloma Australia, and I'm very pleased to be your host today. We've all heard things like keep up with regular exercise, keep active. Exercise can help with managing symptoms of myeloma. Exercise can make cancer treatments more effective. It can help your physical and mental health. As I said, all these things we hear regularly, we know them, but keeping active can still be difficult for people living with myeloma. There are lots of different reasons why it can be difficult, from the symptoms of the myeloma itself to side effects from treatment and all that's in between. We hear time and time again about the difficulty in starting an exercise program after a myeloma diagnosis or period of treatment. With myeloma having a variety of presentations and everybody with myeloma is different, it's difficult to give general advice. And that's why we have experts in exercise, such as exercise physiologists and physios, to help tailor a program just for you to meet your needs and goals. So today we're lucky enough to be joined by our expert, Travis Hall, who is a senior exercise physiologist at the Peter MacCallum Cancer Centre in Melbourne. Travis holds a master's degree in clinical exercise physiology from Deakin University and has also worked in a number of clinical research and project roles since 2017. He has a passion for integrating exercise into cancer care for greater health outcomes and a special interest in complex cancer cases and prehabilitation for people having major surgery and stem cell transplants. Today, we're going to have a bit of a discussion around the most common questions from the community, like how do I start? What's safe? Can I exercise during chemotherapy? When is the best time to exercise? So without further ado, welcome to the show, Travis.
Thanks, Nella. It's great to be here to chat with the Myeloma Australia community on all of exercise today. I'm really excited.
Excellent. Great to have you. As you know, we always get so many questions about exercise, and not one of them is the same because everybody is different and Absolutely. Everybody does different things. Yeah. Before we get started, if anybody who's listening to this does have any questions that come up specifically about themselves and their situation while they're listening along, please don't hesitate to reach out to us or your treating team during or after this podcast. So, Travis, what are the sort of things that people who have myeloma should be considering if they want to start exercising or a new exercise program?
So my first protocol, and I agree with you there in terms of it's really hard to just provide some of the general advice. There's a lot of individual differences in what people want to achieve from exercise, what people have done historically, what treatment side effects they're struggling with. There's plenty of considerations in there, which makes it quite difficult to provide, a general format of exercise. So I think the first protocol is always just check in with your medical team, let them know what you're intending to do, how often, and they'll be able to probably advise you in terms of what's appropriate at different stages of your treatment, depending on maybe what treatment you've had historically, what they can expect from your side effects, and what's appropriate at different times. So I'd check in, and your nursing team as well are going to be a fantastic resource for you as well, just to keep them in the loop in what you're planning on doing. If you want to return to the gym, if you want to go for a walk, if you want to have a goal in mind of what you want to do, I'll check in with them first and just see what they think. And I'm sure there would be some positive responses there about what's appropriate and getting you moving, because we know it is so important. And potentially, you know, start to link in with some services like exercise physiology or potentially physiotherapy, and starting to get a plan in place for you and to help tailor that. I would also probably consider your medical history. Do you have anything else that you might want to consider when starting exercise outside of your myeloma? You might have other conditions that might need some consideration. Your exercise history, how familiar are you with that form of exercise and your goal that you have in mind, and your individual capacity to do these exercises as well? More elderly patient where you'd like, you know, you're a bit older and you just wanted some kind of general moving exercise, and that's an appropriate goal as well, or potentially you're a bit younger and you want to, you know, maybe look at getting into some brisk walking, some jogging, some more gym work, or a mixture of both. That's something to consider as well. But I think it's really important to know that it is difficult and to start exercising, and that's the hardest hurdle when having a myeloma diagnosis. And the research shows us that myeloma patients have more barriers to exercise than other hematological cancers because of the diagnosis and some of the side effects that come with that, as well as the treatment as well. So I think it's important to acknowledge that it's difficult. And if you're having these thoughts about starting exercise, you've already started the ball rolling, and you just want as much help in doing so and guidance as well, which your medical, nursing and allied health team can help provide.
Yeah, there's so many things going on at that time point, aren't there? Like for someone with myeloma, and
it's incredibly difficult, and it's really hard to make habits when you can't just say, all right, Wednesday at 4 p.m. I'm always free, or whatever it might be. You know, you get a call from the nurse, hey, you need to get a blood test, or your chemo's been delayed. You know, all these things, it makes it extremely difficult to make habits. And you know, so there is the need for a little bit of flexibility in there. But you know, in amongst treatment. But if we can do that, there's so many benefits to doing exercise adjunct to treatment.
Yeah, that's right. And sometimes it's one of those things that that we deprioritize as well, or it goes by the way when we get busy, and we know that it is really busy just keeping up with the appointments and getting through the day to day.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's important to acknowledge the barriers that exist within there to allow you to do the exercise when you do get those opportunities. Maybe it's a week off of your treatment, or a day's break, or an afternoon off, or whatever it might be. You know, utilizing those little opportunities, those little windows, is going to be incredibly important in amongst a really busy schedule that myeloma patients have.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking about you know, when I'm talking to people in clinic and stuff, and they're starting that conversation about, okay, I want to do some exercise. I know that it's good for me. I know that it's going to help me. But these are some of my concerns. You know, I don't want to hurt myself. I want something that's going to be sustainable and not add to my symptoms that I'm already experiencing.
Absolutely. And I think off the back of that the safety factor is always a consideration. We know that, you know, myeloma patients have, you know, some big considerations when getting diagnosed. Sometimes it's some bony lesions or some low blood counts, and people are usually feeling quite poor when they get diagnosed, which is obviously as the reason why they got diagnosed in the first place. And people usually tell them, you might want to consider stopping this or ceasing that, and starting can be incredibly difficult. And we do know that exercise is safe for myeloma patients. There's been some research into that, and we know it's safe to implement prior to starting treatment, during treatment, after treatment. At all stages, it's extremely beneficial for helping managing some of the side effects of treatment. And I think the number one, correct me if I'm wrong, Nella, that would come through your door would be fatigue and low energy levels. And
exactly, yep.
And that could be debilitating, and some people, you know, that is extremely hard to deal with when you can barely get yourself off the pillow or, you know, do your activities of daily living. And then we're jumping up and down saying, do your 30 minutes of walking per day. It's extremely difficult. But on the flip side, we do know that exercise is one of the best medicines for reducing levels of fatigue and helping managing fatigue as well. So that's where the individualized comes down to it, that we might be able to implement some small bouts of exercise in amongst your day, or to create some small little achievable goals to help manage your fatigue and slowly improve your fatigue over time. We know it's safe, we know it's beneficial, we know it's going to be good to put alongside, but it can be difficult.
I totally am resonating with all that you're saying, Travis, and particularly around fatigue and just getting yourself in that headspace of this is going to help my fatigue, but it's in my brain, it kind of seems counterproductive that I need to exercise to get past that and to help that. Do you find that people come to that realization at a time point? And what do you hear from the people that you work with about that?
Yeah, I think people, the hardest part is the starting point, I think, in terms of when you're already fatigued, when you're feeling poor, that's, starting to do the exercise seems like a big mountain to climb. But I think I like to see it as part of it. Like I said, I'll probably say it a few times as a medicine alongside the treatment, where we, if you do this and you do it regularly and you take your medicine regularly and make sure it's structured, like you're doing a certain amount for a certain amount of time at a certain intensity, for example, walking, 10 minutes at a nice brisk pace, et cetera. And you get to the end of it and it's not too much that your body can't handle, because we do find people who have really good exercise histories historically like to overdo it. And then they come back and say, I feel, more tired as a result of doing it. So there's a level that's going to be appropriate for you to start off with. And then we build from there. We just build a base in terms of your ability to tolerate that small amount of exercise at a certain dosage, and then build incrementally over time your capacity to do more and more and more.
Yeah. And I imagine that everybody's kind of starting point would be at a different level as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Some people have really strong exercise history in doing gym and workouts, et cetera. And some people haven't exercised at all. And so, everyone's at a different starting point and different deconditioning associated with their treatment or treatment side effects. So it's quite hard to provide a very generic template here. So finding that my recommendation for people with fatigue is to find your baseline. Find what you can tolerate and feel good after you're finishing exercise. You shouldn't feel like you need to go have a nap or lay down on the couch. If you're probably doing that amount of exercise, you might be overdoing it. And just to scale it back just a little bit, build some momentum, and then scale up from there. And you should feel good after doing exercise.
Yeah, that's right. And enjoy those endorphins that we get as well.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. All right. And what about exercising during chemotherapy or intense periods of treatment that some of our community go through?
Absolutely. Again, same messaging, that it's safe and going to be effective. It's just going to need to be tailored around the side effects that you're feeling, as well as what you're individually feeling like doing as well. So we might see people through, some peaks and troughs of treatment or periodize our exercise around that. So for example, if we're doing a 3-week on treatment period, where we know that fatigue slowly increases over that time, we might inversely go start off with the full amount of the program and then slowly scale back over that time. And then when you have your week off, slowly start to increase back to that full capacity again. Because when you're feeling quite poor, it can be difficult to do the exercise, and there might be some other considerations within that within your treatment that can affect your capacity to exercise as well. You might be feeling increasingly short of breath during treatment. You might be feeling you might have low blood counts, which can affect your capacity to exercise. You might have some other symptoms like some tingling in your hands and feet and things like that. So you have to consider your individual capacity to exercise. And then hopefully you can periodize around those periods when you do start to feel good to slowly start to do more.
It's an interesting kind of way to view it, isn't it? And, when we're exercising, we like to think that the more we exercise, just over time, we we're gradually getting better and better and better. And, you know, with each week, we're going to get more and more. But that's not necessarily the case, is it? Because one week might be completely different, the way that you feel and what's going on, and not to be disheartened by that.
Absolutely. And sometimes we change the goalposts as well whilst we're going through treatment. And for people who are coming in quite fit and healthy, or not, sometimes it's just about managing side effects of treatment during treatment, rather than saying, I want to start at this level and by the end of treatment, I want to be exponentially better. We might say we want just a small improvement, or simply just to maintain your exercise levels, maintain your fitness, maintain your function across the timeline of treatment. And that's also a tick for us in terms of, you know, getting the benefits of exercises, because most people don't exercise during treatment. And it's an important part of that, the medicine of treatment as well. We get less fatigue, potentially less side effects. We can tolerate treatments better. We hopefully feel better within yourself as well. And so your quality of life is better. Yeah, so maybe you can walk with friends and family and get some of those social benefits as well. So there's a lot of benefits of this style of exercise, but it is difficult. And the research says that only 12% of patients, myeloma patients, exercise during treatment. And the theory that we hear from people is, I'll start treatment when I start to feel better. I'll start exercising when I start to feel better, or when treatment finishes. But off the back of that research, we know that only 17% of patients, myeloma patients, after treatment are exercising. So most people actually don't increase their exercise levels even when they finish treatment. So it's about starting now, starting small and building up over time, and adjusting based on your symptoms of chemotherapy or your myeloma.
Great. I feel like now is the perfect time to pick your brains about your work in the prehab space. Would you mind telling us a little bit about that? It's not something that is widely rolled out across the country, and it's just such fascinating work and really important work that you guys do. So if you wouldn't mind just telling us a bit about that, Travis, that'd be great.
Absolutely. So it's a new program, and what we're looking at is we have patients coming through that are prior to their stem cell transplant, and in between treatments. And what we aim to do is implement an exercise program, as well as they have access to dietitian and clinical psychologists. And the aim is to increase their overall well-being, or their patients' overall well-being, their ability to increase their exercise tolerance, their muscle strength reserves, and their overall well-being, to help them tolerate the upcoming treatment better. And some of the research, there's not a lot of research into this area, but it kind of makes sense. If you're, you know, the analogy we sometimes use is you wouldn't go into a marathon without training for it. So, you know, and to some extent, a stem cell transplant is a bit of a marathon in terms of, you know, a potential inpatient stay and some of the treatment side effects and recovery timelines. And what the aim is that we increase your physiological reserve to be able to tolerate treatment and treatment side effects, so that you can recover better afterwards and return to your previous level of function, return to your previous levels of, you know, goals and interests and things that you like to do. We want you to be able to achieve them after having a stem cell transplant. So we sometimes work with patients all the way from, you know, early on in their treatment, and sometimes we only get a short window of working with patients prior to their stem cell transplant. But some of the results that we achieve with patients are quite massive. We make big changes in their function. We improve their nutritional status. We get them ready, psychologically ready for their upcoming treatment. And some of the feedback has been fantastic in terms of patients coming in, feeling better, feeling like they're ready for the upcoming treatment, the upcoming battle that it can be for some patients, in a better state physically, nutritionally, psychologically. I think, you know, there's some good results showing that it makes a big change to patient outcomes, as well as oncology outcomes, so their treatment outcomes as well.
Mm, yeah, and I'm just thinking about some now, with specifically about stem cell transplants. There's no sort of the age cutoff is a lot more fluid now, and it's more the decision is made more about a person's physical health rather than their age and how many birthdays they've had. And we've seen some people who at the start of their myeloma diagnosis, when they're first diagnosed, they have quite a lot of symptoms and can be quite frail. And we're not sure whether they'll get to have a stem cell transplant as part of their treatment because of their physical health. And with some prehab, we've been able to get many of those people regain some of that strength and be well enough to get through a stem cell transplant, which is huge.
Absolutely, yeah. These are the types of patients who benefit the most. The patients who have a little bit of a rough journey, either through their diagnosis or through their initial treatment. And some of our patients have, you know, required gait aids, sometimes struggle a little bit around the house in terms of doing the activities of daily living. And we just build up that reserve even more, because what we wouldn't like to do is to have a stem cell transplant and then you're able to do less than what you're currently doing. So, you know, we've made massive improvements. We had people come, not have to use gait aids at all, you know, really enjoy their exercise programs, make significant improvements, tolerate treatment really well, and recover well as well. So I think we're using less and less the doctors are using a biological age less and less and starting to look at the whole picture now. And part of that picture includes, your physiological capacity to tolerate treatment. And we use walking tests and strength tests and all types of tests to understand where you're physically at. And then we will retest that over time to make sure that you're hopefully improving and starting to build your physiological reserve.
Right. And is that something that you do as an exercise physiologist across the board or just in this prehab kind of context?
Yeah, we would do that across the board. The prehab program is a little bit unique, but an exercise physiologist would commonly see patients at all times throughout their journey within the myeloma kind of time frame. So on treatment, off treatment, within the kind of survivorship stage where they might be between treatments, there's a lot of different times where we'll see patients and will benefit from seeing us as well across the whole times.
Yeah, right. And I imagine that those sorts of assessments that you guys do, as well as the consultations, help to decide what the goals of exercise of the person's exercise might be. Can you go into a little bit more detail about that, setting goals and what that means?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's really patient dependent on what the goals are. So we might have some goals in terms of what us as practitioners would like to achieve with a patient, whether that's improving the walking tolerance, so the endurance, improving strength levels, or quality of life measures. But really, the big goal has to be for what the patient wants to achieve. So what do you want to achieve? Do you want to be able to walk around a block around your house? Do you want to walk 5 kilometers, 10 kilometers? Do you want to be able to, be able to get up off your seat unaided? These are some of the, I guess, common goals that we see, or I'll particularly see in a more acute setting, but potentially, after treatments and within that time frame where there's low side effects, there might be some other goals that you'd like to achieve as well around returning to gym, running or swimming, other activities. It's really, once again, quite patient dependent across the board.
Thanks so much, Travis. We're just going to take a short break now. We'll be back really soon. Do you want to speak with a myeloma nurse with a wealth of knowledge about myeloma? Myeloma Australia's telephone support line is available Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Australian Eastern Time. Call 1-800-MYELOMA or 1-800-693-566 and a specialist myeloma nurse will answer your call in confidence. Welcome back to My Conversations. I'm Nella Coombe and I'm here today with Travis Hall discussing exercise and myeloma. Peter from Victoria wrote in to us and asked specifically about his situation, which we hear commonly as well. In the days after treatment, I notice that my energy is quite low. And should I be exercising when I feel like this and I have that fatigue?
Absolutely. This is extremely common. And it really can be quite debilitating for someone like Peter, where the level of fatigue can be disproportionate to the level of exertion. So I'll say that again. The level of fatigue can be disproportionate to the level of exertion. So for example, if Peter was fairly well, healthy and fit, a walk to the shops could feel like a marathon for him. And people might not understand that very well, that, you know, why are you so tired for? You've only gone for a 500 meter walk and you've always historically done a lot more. And that could be hard for people to understand, but it is disproportionate to the level of exertion. So when Peter's energy levels are quite low, yes, exercise is still going to be beneficial. It's still going to be important part of managing the fatigue. It might just be having to adjust around those low levels and finding something that's easily tolerated on those days. So for example, if Peter could normally walk 20 minutes on his days when he's feeling well, then maybe today he'll do a 10-minute walk. And hopefully that just keeps the body moving, get some of those feel-good hormones, get some of those benefits of getting the body moving, heart rate up, breathing up, and hopefully feels a bit better as a result of that. There may just be days when Peter just can't do the exercise program as it is. If you're just feeling really, really poor, and sometimes it's about acknowledging the bad days and saying, today is just a really bad day. I feel really poor. I'm going to do what I can, whatever that might be. And if it's just doing his normal bits and pieces around the house, and that's completely fine. But trying to find the little wins within the day to try and get the body moving. And so our most common recommendation is little and often. So just doing little bouts across the day can build up to a significant amount of exercise. It might be 5 squats every time there's an ad break on the TV. Hopefully there's not too many. But, you know, that can start to accumulate across the day, or it's morning, afternoon and night doing a short walk to your letterbox and back. If you're feeling really, really fatigued, that might seem like a lot. So that's commonly a way that we can start to accumulate a bit of exercise when you have low levels of energy.
Mm-hmm. And are there things around the house that also count as exercise?
Yes, but we commonly like to keep exercise quite structured. And so we, once again, exercise medicine, we want a dosage at a specific intensity, like a medicine for a certain amount per day. So you can, you know, still doing your physical activity, which would be your bits and pieces around the house, is still important and still good to keep moving. And so that would be perfectly fine for Peter to consider continuing on. But if we're doing exercise, we want a little bit more structure around it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's more like a treatment pathway, like any of the other ways that we treat somebody's myeloma.
Absolutely, because yep. if we're giving a random amount of exercise each time, it's quite hard to understand the dosage and whether you're doing too much or too little. And so we want that nice middle part there, where we know what we're giving is the appropriate amount. That's not going to leave you feeling too tired, but it's also not too little to get the benefits of it.
Mm-hmm. Great. It actually perfectly just rolls into the next question from Amanda in Queensland, and she wanted to know, what's the best way to structure an exercise program? So it'd be great to hear a bit more detail about what we've just talked about in general.
Yeah, really tough. I think we spoke about this earlier, and amongst a really busy myeloma schedule of medical appointments, nursing appointments, allied health, blood tests, procedures, scans, really difficult to structure it, you know, in terms of frequency across the day. But within a session, I would make sure there's a component of cardiovascular exercise, which involves getting your heart rate up, getting your body moving in a bit more of a rhythmic nature. So walking, swimming, marching on the spot, whatever it might be, just to get the body moving. And this style of training is important for your cardiovascular health, your stamina levels, managing the fatigue. You know, your general kind of cardiovascular health is going to benefit from this style of training, while incorporating some resistance training as well is going to be important. So it's going that style of training is going to be important for strength and your function, your independence, your mobility. And the common recommendation along for these two forms of exercise is 150 minutes of aerobic exercise per week and two resistance training sessions per week. But we that sounds like a lot. And if you say that to a lot of people, that seems like a big mountain to climb. So it's important to know that there's a lot of benefits from doing less. And if you can't meet that at this stage, that's perfectly fine. Make a goal that suits your current capacity. It might be a 10-minute walk, you know, every day. And so that'll accumulate to 70 minutes of exercise. So not meeting a recommendation, but that's what I'm starting off with. And we're going to build up over time to try and get to that level over time. And the same with the resistance training, you might be not be able to tolerate two full resistance training sessions per week. So maybe we can break it up into three times per week and just do smaller amounts of exercise within each one of those training sessions. So that's what we're trying to achieve within the session for exercise. In terms of planning, you might just need to be, might have to be a little bit flexible. Once again, find those little windows of opportunity where you're not busy and you can find some time to dedicate towards exercise. If you do have a structure, a planner, that can help as well. If you've got your future medical appointments and otherwise all in a planner, that can help to say, oh, this early walk this morning and resistance training and Wednesday afternoon after treatment, etc. That can help, but you might need to be a little bit flexible within that as well.
Yeah. So maybe if you are one to schedule things in, or you have a lot of appointments, schedule it in, but don't be too disheartened if it doesn't happen. Just try and find another space.
Absolutely. Yeah. It will be difficult at different times. Sometimes treatment runs late or whatever it might be, that gets within, life gets in the way sometimes as well. So try and fit it in as best as you can. Prioritize it. It is important, but don't beat yourself up if you have to miss a session because of other reasons, and try and see if you can manipulate your week to make that up in another time.
Great. Excellent. Sally from Western Australia asked us to ask you. When I was diagnosed with myeloma, I was told I had lesions in my spine. I really enjoyed Pilates before my diagnosis, and will I ever be able to get back to this?
That's a really difficult question to answer, and lots of factors to take into account there to better understand Sally's journey, potentially the location of the lesion, the severity of symptoms, is there any pain, how far along during treatment, you know, there's a lot of factors within there. We do know bones do heal through some structured exercise as well as some medication that can be provided as well. But there's a lot of factors there which make it quite difficult to provide advice here. I think the best recommendation here is to, one, discuss your plan with your medical team and see what they think is appropriate. They might be able to provide you with some advice around appropriate movements or things that they think may not be as appropriate based on your medical situation, as well as getting an exercise physiologist or potentially a physiotherapist involved in your care will be extremely beneficial in this case to help understand what movements, what volume of exercise can be tolerated without exacerbating pain or making symptoms worse, and then building along from there to slowly get back towards Pilates. So I've seen a few patients get back to Pilates, and that's not an unachievable goal, but I think it just needs to be thought out and teased out a little bit more, and it's going to be down to some individual circumstances in terms of what is going to be tolerated there and what the plan can be in terms of returning to Pilates.
Right. And do you give, do you have any sort of general advice on if someone comes to you and says, oh, I was doing this particular exercise and it was hurting? What is there, I know it's hard because you don't know the person, and when you're actually seeing them in the clinic, you do know them and you know all, you've got all their scans and you know what their physical health is like. But just wondering, it might be helpful for people who are listening to us today.
I think there's a level of pain which is okay. We don't want to say whenever you feel pain, don't move, because there is a small likelihood that you will have a little bit of pain when starting to move the body again, particularly after times of sedentary behavior or reducing your activity. It's moving again can be a little bit painful, but I think we don't want to be, in general, giving people advice to be pushing through pain. It's not a no pain, no gain type of situation, and particularly without the advice of your treating team and without the advice of some allied health members in there. If I saw someone and they said a particular movement was causing pain, then I would modify that exercise, at least initially, to make sure it wasn't painful, or wasn't like it was manageable, and then slowly increase the tolerance. And if that was continuing to cause pain, then I would change the exercise, regress it back to something that is tolerable, and then build up from there. So if you're starting off and things are causing pain, then I would stop. I would cease that exercise, would be my recommendation, and try and see if you can do something easier and build up again from there, as well as keeping a good track of your pain levels and what's causing pain is something to keep your treating team advised on it as well, because we don't want you to be in pain, particularly in exercising, and it's not enjoyable. So we want to make sure we keep a track on that and modify around it, as well as if there's new pain, so pain that you haven't had before or increasing pain, that's something I would recommend talking to your treating team about as well.
Fantastic. And it highlights the importance of having someone like yourself, an exercise physiologist or a physio, involved in your exercise program, so that little tweaks like that are underpinned by that expert knowledge that you guys carry with you, and you're integrating into your practice what may seem seamlessly to us, but you know, it's very purposeful, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We're considering all the factors that within yourself. So not only considering, you know, the myeloma and some of the treatment side effects, but as well as, you know, the whole picture, your other medical history, as well as what do you enjoy and what do you want to achieve, and putting that into a, I guess, a mixture and helping you along with your journey and staying active, staying safe, and achieving your goals.
Yeah, great. We do get lots of questions on our telephone support line for recommendations for how to find prescribed exercise programs for people that are undergoing cancer treatment. I know in Australia we we've got a number of programs. I'm thinking of the ExMed cancer program, which is a subsidised one run by exercise physiologists in metropolitan Melbourne. But for people living outside of Metro Melbourne, have you got any recommendations for them on how to seek out some of these programs?
Sure. My first recommendation would be to look or seek through your treating team if there's a local hospital or a community health team that can be involved in your care. A lot of the regional sites will have allied health members that can hopefully be referred to help with your exercise journey. If not, there's a few websites where you can look into to finding a private practitioner. You may consider using your chronic disease management plan, or particularly speaking to your nurse about doing so, such as, you know, you can write in Google, find an AEP or find a physio, and both of those websites will help direct you towards exercise physiologists and physios in the private practice world that may be able to help you with your myeloma journey. I would probably try and find someone with a bit of oncology experience. So if you could do a little bit of searching around in that regards and find a practitioner which is comfortable with yourself and what you're going through, then that would be my recommendation. But if not, that would still be appropriate. So I think they're my two options for finding some help in the community, particularly if you don't have access to fantastic programs like ExMed.
Yeah, great. Thanks so much, Travis. It sounds like a really nice place to wrap up our conversation today. Really like to thank you once again for joining me for our podcast. It's been fantastic to speak with you and pick your brains all things exercise and myeloma. And I suppose to the listeners out there, if you if you wanted to give us our telephone support line a call and speak with one of our nurses, they'd be happy to help you navigate some of the options of seeking out some specific help and expertise in your area, whether through a program or an exercise physiologist. So please reach out if we can help. Thanks so much, Travis.
Thanks, Della, and thanks to the Myeloma Australia team for inviting me today. It's been really fun.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Conversations. We'd love to hear from you, so send us your questions or topic ideas to our email address, nurses@myeloma.org.au. Whilst the advice and opinions of our guests is welcomed, this podcast provides general information and is not intended to replace medical care or the advice of your treating team. Please talk to your doctor if you have any questions about your diagnosis or treatment. Your doctor can answer your questions, talk with you about your treatment goals, and provide you with extra support.